This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I was working on something else. I didn't have time to really pay attention. The 737 is back in the news today.
Yeah, so the 737 MAX, Boeing is now saying that it will be at least mid-year. So this date just keeps pushing back. They try to say, well, it looks like it'll be flying again, but I think others are reading it's not going to be flying again until at least mid-year.
And are they still going to call it the 737 MAX?
As of right now, and I just saw a statement from Boeing recently because that has been a question and has been brought up again, and I know you're about to talk about it, but
yes.
Boeing says it has no plans to change the name of the 737 MAX, but I do know that some people up high have even suggested as much.
It's ridiculous. And I remember I said, even before the president, I said they got to change the name. Because when you have two fatal crashes associated with an airplane,
within 5 months,
you've got to change the name.
And there have been just other problems that have cropped up now that they're going through this whole recertification process. Other things have cropped up, including another software problem as recently as last Friday that we learned about.
Yeah, and then they say, okay, we're going to get every pilot in a simulator. First, they said they don't need to be simulator trained on the 737 MAX. Now they are going to put every pilot in a simulator. They just have no consistency. This has been a really poorly handled PR crisis.
But you know what happened today on Wall Street? Boeing shares dropped by more than $10 a share. It's down over 3%. They had to stop trading on this news briefly.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised because that was supposed to be the workhorse going forward. And yes, an airline industry leader who runs a big air lease corporation and buys planes from Boeing says you got to change the name. And as Cairo 7 reported, yeah, the president said the same thing last April.
Monday, at a conference in Dublin, Stephen Udvar-Hazy, who heads a company that buys planes and leases them to airlines, said, "We've asked Boeing to get rid of that word MAX. I think that word MAX should go down in the history books as a bad name for an aircraft." President Trump was among the first to raise the idea, tweeting last April, "If I were Boeing, I would fix the Boeing 737 MAX, add some additional great features, and rebrand the plane with a new name. No product has suffered like this one."
Yeah,
he's absolutely right.
Yeah, and I said it before the president. Graham Johnson should have given me credit for saying it before the press. But I was thinking about, because when you have a product and its name is associated with something really unfortunate or unpleasant, it makes it very difficult. Like for example, when I was a kid, the most famous meat tenderizer on the market was Adolph's.
No.
Yeah, they still sell it. I just looked. One of the big, McCormick sells all the spices. And
yeah.
McCormick still sells Adolph's meat tenderizer.
No.
Yeah. And I was looking up the history, and they named it before, you know, Hitler came to prominence. But then somebody bought it in the 40s and bought the name Adolph's, and they kept it. And like I said, we had Adolph's in our kitchen cabinet when I was a little kid.
That should have, yeah.
There's a worse one.
Yeah, what's that? That's really bad.
Do you remember
really bad.
Do you remember the most famous diet candy? You were probably living out of the country.
What was that?
Let me play for you a commercial. This is not a joke. This is an actual commercial from 1982 for the most famous diet candy on the marketplace at the time.
I've tried fad diets, powders, pills. Still, my weight's been up and down like a yo-yo until the AIDS plan taught me how to take off weight and help keep it off.
AIDS may taste like a candy, but AIDS contains one of the most effective appetite suppressants you can buy, and there's no stimulant in AIDS that could make you nervous.
With AIDS, I ate less, so the weight came off. To help keep it off when I sometimes want things loaded with calories, AIDS helps put me in control.
Let the AIDS plan teach you how to take off weight and help keep it off. Try peanut butter AIDS.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can lose weight.
Oh, no.
With AIDS. Yeah, that's 1982. And
it was actually spelled A-Y-D-S.
A-Y-D-S, yeah. AIDS was the most famous diet candy. They came in little chocolate and peanut butter flavors, and you pop a little AIDS, and the weight just magically disappeared. That was an unfortunate name as well. That's even worse than Adolf's meat tenderizer. But the fact that we're talking about the 737 MAX in the same conversation with Adolf's meat tenderizer and the AIDS diet plan would suggest that maybe it's time to rebrand the 737 MAX.
Yeah, but with a name change, is that going to be enough to make you feel safe? I mean, I think they're going to have to do a lot, including have no additional incidents.
Are flyers, and some are, some like to, because I remember I had an aunt who, she refused to fly on an Airbus, and she was scared to death of heights, but she felt safe on a 747. But the whatever the Airbus equivalent was, she refused to fly on that, so she would always make sure it was a 747 and not the Airbus equivalent. And some people always check out what plane they're flying on. When you go on a trip, do you look?
Now I do. I mean, the one thing that I always do, and I've shared this with you, is that I always have to touch the outside of the plane as I walk in.
And I've told you that there have been studies that the oils in the human hand, if
it's
they're on
true.
The outside of an
it's
airplane, it can bring down the plane.
That's
mid-flight.
Not even funny. Not even funny.
It can.
I do
no.
check
Stop
out
touching.
The plane type, but mostly because I want to figure out where I'm seated. So because of the arrangement of the seats on the different planes. But I do think that if they change the name, then you're under the impression, and as a consumer, you're under the impression that it's a whole new product, even if you know it's still the same, you know, fuselage or whatever.
Right.
But you're under the impression they've changed enough to make it so much different that it doesn't count.
I would suggest that they change it to the Stalin 737. That would be the name change that Boeing could
at least think about. Again, you're goofing.
Yes.
But what is it going to take?
I mean,
what does it take? And the reality is Boeing has made perfect planes and excellent planes. So it's just, and if you look at the track record, it's excellent until this.
I wonder what the hesitation is. I don't even know. I can't
it's
even
expensive
imagine.
Expensive to change the
can't
name?
Be that
I don't
expensive.
Know.
It's ridiculous. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, I saw a piece over the weekend on one of our local TV stations, Q13, and I was just captivated by it because I'll tell you a little story. So as you know, I was a sports producer at King 5, and Tony Ventrella was and remains one of my best friends in the world, and he and I just had a blast working together, and I thought he was as good as you get as far as doing television, being unique, and all the things that I respected and admired. There were a couple of people on air that I didn't have the same admiration for, and that's tough when you're a producer.
Sure.
Because
and that's based on what, though?
I didn't think they worked very hard. I didn't think, I don't know how specific I should get.
Okay, but you didn't think that they were they had the same kind of work ethic.
I didn't think they worked very hard. Okay. I didn't think that they were very good.
Okay.
A couple of them.
So you thought they lacked work ethic and talent.
And talent, yes. And that's hard because as the producer, I would write every word of the, and then these guys who were making, in at least two of the cases, they're making six figures when I was making $7 an hour. And I would write everything, and then they would just read it and collect the big money. And that was, it was easy for me with Tony because I thought he was so good and he was so good to me. But with a couple of people, I just didn't have that same level of respect. So and it was clear because I tried to convince King 5 to let me be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently I was too homely to be on television. So
they didn't tell you that.
No, but I could tell.
Oh,
I could just tell. No, whatever reason, because I thought that I would be better than some of these people that I was working with. But they just didn't want anything to do with me on air, but they loved me as a producer. So I had to try to carve out my niche without being on air. And what I started doing was producing these really loud, and I'll give them credit. They would give me sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes to tell stories, and I would do all net sound pieces with no report.
Mm-hmm.
Just I would interview people, and we would just use the natural sound and the sound bites. And I did one with that I was really proud of. The up at Marysville Pilchuck High School, they had a kid who was the team manager named Wheels. And he was, or that's what they called him, he was born without the ability to use his legs.
Mm.
And he would, when everybody was running sprints and running lines, he would do lines with the team, but he would use his hands to scoot down the floor while all of these other kids were running. And I did a feature where I put a microphone on him during a game, and the kids loved him and had so much respect and admiration. And I would just put together these, I thought, really cool. I wish I still had them.
I was going to say, do you still have it?
No,
you should share it.
I've got them somewhere in a box.
Yeah.
On 3/4-inch videotape, which is impossible to convert even. But so anyway, when I see really cool Nat sound pieces
and
today,
just, you'd admire them.
I admire them greatly. And so Q13, they sent one of their photogs, a guy named Frank Kumaros. I don't know this guy, but I sent a little note on Twitter with his story, and I said, this was really cool. And there's a little town in Washington called Concanaly, and they do outhouse races there. And I thought, this is what I enjoyed doing when I was trying to break into the biz.
Photojournalist Frank Kumaros traveled almost 6 hours to Concanaly, Washington, where frigid temperatures and lots of snow only added to the festivities.
The storm got us locked in pretty good here. Is everybody staying warm?
Yeah.
It's just a small little community.
We needed something to do in the winter times just to get some business going and people coming.
We just made a family tradition to come up here every year.
Oh, God.
So anyway, the tradition, I'm not going to, because a lot of it is visual, but the tradition is they put skis on outhouses and then people race them and push them across the snowy fields. And it was done without a reporter and all net sound. And if you want to see the whole thing, it's on my Twitter, at Dory Monson. It's also up on Q13's webpage, I'm sure. But at Dory Monson, DoriMonson. But I just wanted to congratulate, because I think local TV news, when they take the time to tell stories and do it with all Nat sound, it's something that I've just always had great, great affection for.
Did you watch the video of this, though?
I did.
Is it how they're in an outhouse, then the people pushing them on the outside of the outhouse are like have blindfold things on them, so they can't see, and the person in the outhouse has to tell the other people where to go.
Yeah, it's like it's like a coxswain in a crew race. Yeah.
That's what we should get you in the adventure series.
Yes. Yeah, get me in the outhouse.
Porta potty races.
Darn right. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, you may recall that last year Ursula almost lost her dog to a coyote,
mm-hmm.
went out for a walk. It didn't really threaten you guys, right?
Yeah, it did.
It did?
Well, it was, pacing with us.
It was kind of staring you down.
It was like walking alongside us because we were by the Sandpoint Country Club in the dark.
And
it was kind of dumb. But anyway, and then I started running. Of course, I was going to run after.
The worst thing you do, because that puts their predator
I pretty much did everything. But then I finally figured out I had to do the one thing that was correct, which was I stopped because it kind of slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just stopped and turned around, and I was just screaming and screaming
big,
and screaming.
And you make a lot of noise and try to scare it off. The other option would be what this dad did. This father was out with his 2-year-old, and the coyote actually attacked the 2-year-old child. And in the TV story, you see the gashes in the child's legs, but the kid's going to be fine. But the dad realized that he had to do something, and he didn't run. He didn't get big and scream, but here's the dad, Ian O'Reilly, talking about the coyote sneak attack on him and his 2-year-old.
Very normal day, and out of the peripheral of my vision, saw a flash and realized by my wife screaming that the coyote had attacked my youngest son and got him by the back of his onesie, his snow pants, and brought him to the ground. And luckily, we did not get him, just the snow pants. And my wife was able to separate the two. And then in the process, we were able to get the children away from the coyote And I was able to put myself between the coyote and the family. And from there, it was a series of attacks from a pretty aggressive coyote. And it got me in the arm and the chest and was able to then get it squarely in the jaw with my boot and was able to jump on it and then wrestle it to the ground. And it luckily did not bite anyone after that. I was able to expire it.
Okay. He was able to expire it. And he goes into more detail. So this coyote wasn't backing off, had lunged at the dad a couple of times, and he decided it's either me and my family or it's the coyote. So listen to what this guy did.
We tried to de-escalate the situation by kicking it and trying to get it away from us and shooing it away. It did not work. It was very much the aggressor, so there was no... There was no interest in it going away. And so ultimately, I had to make the decision to become the aggressor and continually jumped on it and attacked it and was able to get it to the ground. When I was able to get on top of it, I put my hand around its snout so it wasn't able to attack me anymore. And then from there, there was quite a bit of snow on the ground, so I shoved the face into the snow. And then eventually I was able to put my hand on its snout and expire it through suffocation. And then ultimately one hand on its windpipe and one hand on its snout did the trick. Although eventually we did have to wrestle a little bit because it wasn't dead 5 minutes after that, which was super surprising. And so after that, we were able to just sort of wrestle, move it to expiry.
Keeps using expire it, move it to expiry.
Yeah, boy, he just really just rattled that whole story off.
Yeah, he just... With his bare hands, killed the coyote that was attacking him and his family.
But you know what? You see a coyote taking your baby by the...
You do what you got to do. Uh-huh. Yeah, if it's protecting your own kid, you do what you got to do. And all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next... I have some vengeance on my mind because I believe Dave Wyman has won the first two Name That Artist of 2020. Dave Wyman, his weekly visit. It's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
I want to break free.
Queen. Wow, that was like...
That was quick.
Very close.
What has happened to you in this new decade? You won the first two Name That Artist of the Decade.
Dory, I'm woke.
You are. After laying dormant for so long, you've suddenly woke. I appreciate that.
Like a phoenix rising from the ashes. It's Dave Wyman.
Dave has a 1-0 lead in Name That Artist today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Dave Wyman is with us, and got the Super Bowl all set. But I wanted to talk about the Seahawks, since you are so closely associated with them. Because I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter.
Modernization.
Twitter chatter. and I know that in sports talk radio, you have to... You have a lot of time to fill, and you fill it very, very well and productively whenever you're on the air. But I've also seen that there are a lot of people who are saying, is Pete Carroll really right for the Seahawks going forward?
And since the Seahawks are out of the playoffs, God bless those people for saying those stupid things.
For giving you the fodder?
Yeah. It's funny how...
Isn't it insane?
Our producer, Maura, pointed this out that, like, now all these national people are on Pete. Before they were, and the reason why is because they've discovered Russell Wilson. It's like all of a sudden they've discovered that Russell Wilson is a really elite, good quarterback.
Yes.
And he's being misused. He's a misused asset.
So that's the new storyline.
Yeah. And so they're talking about modernizing, football and how they need to step into the 21st century and, you know, this, that, and the other. But, yeah, I mean, look at what happened with and some of the best running teams, Tennessee, Baltimore, San Francisco. And there's nothing modern about that.
Right.
You know, those are the teams that make it into the playoffs. And, you know, it's funny. I did a football 101 thing the other day, that touchdown that they ran. I didn't even realize we were at your house watching it. It was the first touchdown? I think it was. It was a trap play on 3rd and 8. running a trap play on third and eight is the most archaic thing you can do.
Yeah, it's old school.
Total old school.
High school or Woody Hayes, yeah. Old Ohio State, 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Do you remember Vince Lombardi? There's a clip of him standing out on a field, and he's got a chalkboard, and he's like, we're going to get a seal here, and a kick out here. Yeah. It's exactly what they did, and they did it on third and eight, which was brilliant because Green Bay's ears were pinned back, and it's a quick-hitting play up the middle, and they ran right past it, and it goes for a 36-yard touchdown. So there's nothing more old school than that. And, you know, when – that's what Pete wants to do, and that's what, and you know what it looked like? It went to the other side, and it was slightly different, but remember Rashad Penny's 58-yard run for a touchdown against Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a trap play.
Straight up the middle.
Yeah. Just a quick hitter that you know, maybe you get five or six, but if you block it right, it goes to the house, and that's what happened.
But here's what, I guess it bothers me, because I'm not unbiased when it comes to Pete. He comes on my show every Friday during the season, and I consider him a friend. And so I'm not unbiased, and I'll be the first to admit that. But I also just want to, you know, grab people by the collar and say, do you understand how good this is, how good this run has been? Do you understand that we've won more playoff games in the 10 years with Pete Carroll than in the 30-whatever-some years before Pete Carroll? And it's like... And I guess this is the natural cycle of fandom, apparently, but I just think it is so horribly misguided to not understand when you are in the midst of something that is, to use one of Pete's words, extraordinary. Because they are in the midst of a run unlike other than New England. There's no other team in the NFL that's had a run like this the last decade.
Yeah, Green Bay's up there in that same sort of category, that rarefied air, you know, where they're, I mean... What, 8 of the last 9, is that right? 7 of the last 8 years, they've had double-digit wins.
Right.
It's so hard to win. We had Groz in on Friday. He said, don't get tired of winning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people are getting tired of winning. And, you know, I thought they were going to go 10-6 and that they would win a game in the playoffs this year. And maybe if they get lucky, and I really think that would have been a good matchup if they'd have played San Francisco.
Right.
So, and it found out this year, especially, it was a season of matchups. Like for the Niners, we're a good matchup with them. But look at them against Arizona. They kind of struggled against Arizona.
Right.
And same thing with the Packers. They struggled with Detroit, who was like 3-12-1 or something like that. And they never led at any point during the game. They kicked game-winning field goals at the end of regulation. So, yeah, it's about matchups, and I think the Seahawks matched up really well against the 49ers. So if they'd have found a way, and to me, if they get that ball back in Green Bay, if it's not, you know, a first down by inches, there was no doubt in my mind that Russell was going to take him down and score and win that game.
Right. But so all of the criticism, though, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but all the criticism is that they should stop running it so much, which is what Pete Carroll loves to do, and they should just let Russell Wilson throw the ball 50 times a game, because that's what modern football is, and that's what the analytics says.
Apparently.
And I love analytics. I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
I also love reality. And and I just think that if you are asking somebody to be what they're not, or saying we should get rid of somebody because of what they are and bring in somebody else, I think the downside is a million times greater than the upside.
Well, and just, you're going to go out to the coaches tree and pick one off. I mean, look at who's getting hired as head coaches right now. Who's going to be the head coach?
Right.
Who's better? But, you know, and that thing with Russell throwing the ball, I did a thing on this a few weeks ago where if he throws it 25 times or less, he's like 75% win percentage. And 75% in the playoffs. Or no, it was close to 80 during the regular season.
Okay.
But when you're throwing it 26 times or more, it dropped down to like 60% win percentage in the regular season and 50-50 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily Russell. It's just the formula for this team is that you don't want to be throwing the ball a ton. You're going to win if you run the ball and be, I guess, old-fashioned.
It's just crazy. All right. Dave Wyman is with us. He has a 1-0 lead and named that artist.
Oh. Yeah. I can't.
I know this. on the fly. Sugar Ray?
Boom.
Nice call. There it is.
Took me longer. All the listeners had already screamed it out long before I did. Well, how exciting is this? We're tied 1-1. That just doesn't get any closer. Dave Wyman is with us, and we'll finish this grudge match. And have lots of other stuff to talk about as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Make you hostage, wanna do it again. Gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. No chance. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. What are you doing in there, Chuck? Topic with your DJ move.
I'm a hype man right now, moving my arms up and down. Dave, this was mainly for you. I figured you'd get it.
No.
You didn't play this in the Seahawks camp back in the day?
Who is it?
DMX.
Would have never got that.
Fine.
Lots of we had lots of Public Enemy, NWA.
Got it.
Yeah. I have that on my playlist now.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That shows that you're a hep. Cat.
You know, Ice Cube came in here.
Into the building?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And
I did know that.
Yeah, he was here for the 3-on-3, and I yelled out, gangsta, gangsta! No, I didn't.
What? Could have yelled out Doughboy. Wasn't he Doughboy?
It's one of his songs, Gangsta, Gangsta.
Oh.
Wasn't he on...
he was Doughboy.
Wasn't he on Law & Order?
Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him from Law & Order.
No, that's Ice Cube. Ice-T. That's
Ice-T. Oh, you're talking about Ice-T. I'm talking about Ice Cube.
Oh, I can't get my ice straight.
Yeah. What about Vanilla Ice?
Vanilla Ice. I saw Vanilla Ice over at the Marymore Park. They
did
concerts. It was like a 90s thing. There were Salt and Pepper. And then, and you know, my wife, she was dancing the entire time.
I'm sure she was.
Oh, yeah.
She's a fine dancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
She's a fine dancer.
She is. Yeah. I got to get my ice checked. That's what I found out today. Okay.
Get your ices straight.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for coming over Sunday. That was fun.
That was a blast.
Yeah.
It was better off just doing the shooting competition rather
than... Here's what I learned. So I was actually going to try to drag my broken knee out to try to do one last 2-on-2, 3-on-3 before my knee replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently NASA, who was there, our Seahawks producer, and Nicole... they met with a bunch of friends, and they conspired Saturday night to not let me play 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. I don't like that people are talking behind my back about my physicality.
Well, if you would have taken care of it a year ago, we wouldn't have to.
I understand.
It was done out of love, right?
Yeah,
it was.
And it was NASA.
I wanted
said,
you to be walking this week.
Let's just do the shooting game.
Yeah.
It was him. But I didn't realize it was because they had conspired the night before to protect me. And there's part of me that finds that incredibly sweet, but it also makes me just feel...
Well, I have to say I was glad when I left my house and it was just pouring down rain and windy because I thought, hopefully it's that way at your house.
No. No, I'm in a banana belt. You know why? Because the
why?
Because the sunshine follows me
wherever
I go. So, okay, a couple other things I wanted to chit-chat with you. Oh, so Super Bowl is set. We watched the games, of course, on Sunday. Kansas City's favored over San Francisco?
Niners are going to win.
You say that with certainty.
Yeah, well, since week 10, I've been saying I think the Niners are going to win. I probably should have backed that up.
No, that's not allowed.
Yeah, but, they just are so well coached. And I was looking at, and it's bad news. I mean, it's good news that the Seahawks match up against them for whatever reason. But they're really young. I mean, they've got, like, that Nick Bosa kid and Kittle. I mean, those guys are, that Mostert kid, those are all, like, 3-4 year guys. The kid Greenlaw, who made the tackle that broke the Seahawks' heart on the goal line, he's a rookie. So, I mean, they've got a lot of really young guys.
So are the Seahawks going to be able to catch up with them in the next year or two?
I hope so. I worked on a project with sacks because we're talking about what's the biggest thing in the offseason for them?
Sacks Fifth Avenue?
They got to go get sacks. Oh. They got to get sacks with a C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at it, not a single scoring drive. There was not a single touchdown scoring drive when the Seahawks got a sack.
Really?
Yeah. Not one touchdown.
Well, they should start sacking more then.
Yes,
that'd be my
exactly.
advice. That'd be my. That's how I'd coach them up.
You should coach the Seahawks. Thank All right, you. Gentlemen. Here's what we're going to do.
So what's the big
and score more touchdowns?
What's the big thing once the Super Bowl's over until baseball starts? What do you do? What do you do 5 days a week?
Talk about the Seahawks. You know what I think is pretty awesome that's going on right now, and it's not awesome. This Major League Baseball thing with the pitches. The cheating part of it. I mean,
yeah.
I was kind of wrote a little email this morning to Maura to talk about it more just because I'm fascinated by
it. I don't do a sports show, and I talked about it on Friday.
It's unbelievable.
It's so fast. And one of the guys was wearing a buzzer?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, Altuve.
So they would look to see with the camera what the catcher's sign was.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a fastball, they'd start zapping the guy.
Or they would bang on a garbage can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was too. In any other sport, what would that be the equivalent to? Like I wrote today, like if you had a golf ball that you could maybe manipulate like a drone.
Yeah.
You know, you have somebody off to the side, maybe that would be.
Joystick controlled golf ball.
I mean, if you knew what play it was going to be in football, you still got to make the tackle and everything. But no one, not only that, but Shannon Dreher, who's the insider for the Mariners, said, you know, it's also a lot about pitches you don't get.
Have a tiebreaker ready, Sean. Nope. Tied at one.
No clue.
All right, David Hasselhoff, here we go.
Oh.
That was David Hasselhoff? Ozzy Osbourne.
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
Dang it!
Gangsta.
Dang it!
Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
Shoot!
You're close.
3-0 this year.
Close.
This is unbelievable. What a turnaround. What an absolute turnaround.
I can't take credit. I can't take credit for it. It's the training. The training takes over.
All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7 on Bob, Dave, and More, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Big lead to 2 next.